Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Strategies for Success, where every day I get to bring you a dynamic guest. And today I have a fabulous guest, and I think this is going to be a very interesting subject. We've been reading a lot about the COVID-19, but this is coming from the eyes of a microbiologist. And so you really will be able to understand it and learn more about just what it's all about. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest, Angeline. And tell you a little bit more about her business. And her name is Angeline Benjamin. She started her career as a food microbiologist for Hunt Weston Foods and worked for three other large companies, the last being Taco Bell Corporation, where she spent 18 years as a food safety officer, traveling the whole United States. While with Taco Bell, she also served as a coach and trainer for franchisees and restaurant management. After retiring, she started her consulting company focusing on food safety and quality, as well as she helped many companies create crisis management plans, as she has had lots of experience in that from her years at Taco Bell. Today, with the COVID-19 virus, many companies have to develop these plans, and she has the expertise to assist them. As for some companies, it is very difficult. Angeline Benjamin is also a motivational speaker, action coach with results. She believes in making a difference in people's lives through mentoring, coaching, and motivating others and her audience. She also is a contributing author in a soon-to-be-published book, It's All About Showing Up and the Powers in the Asking, with 35 other co-authors. She is also working on her first book that honors her parents. She came to California when she was 18 years old, attended Marywood High School to learn English and preparing to attend college. Angeline was accepted at the College of Notre Dame with an academic scholarship. She also believes in helping people stay healthy, and in 2013, she was introduced to Nerium, anti-aging cream, and learned about these great products. She started to mentor others to stay healthy and feel good about themselves. She has received numerous awards for her work, not only in business, but in serving her community. She also serves as the director of the Global Society for Female Entrepreneurs, South Orange County Network, and is co-director of the Menifee GSFE Network. Welcome, Angeline. I'm so happy to have you on the show today, especially on this fabulous subject that we really need to know more about.
Thank you, Robbie, and I'm honored to be part of your show. Thank you.
So tell us, what is COVID-19?
Okay, COVID-19. COVID actually stands for coronavirus disease. And they put 19 because it was discovered in 2019, even though the pandemic, you know, started in 2020, but this is actually was discovered in 2019, and that's why they put the 19 in there. And this illness actually is caused by a new strain of coronavirus. Coronavirus has been around for many, many years, but this is the new one. This is a new coronavirus, and that's why they call it SARS-CoV-2. And the reason they put 2 because there is a SARS-CoV-1 in 2013 that they have the outbreak in China. So this is the second one, but it doesn't mean it's the same. They're actually, just for easy to understand, it's a stronger virus. And SARS-CoV-2 stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus 2. So when you read that, it's respiratory. And this is what typically coronavirus is attacking your respiratory system first. And that's why it's called severe acute respiratory syndrome. And like the other coronavirus, like what we call it MERS-CoV and the other SARS-CoV number one, all these viruses originated from bats. So they came from the wild animal. But it doesn't mean that this wild animal attacked people directly. Unfortunately, for some reason, research still being done about this, and they feel that was a third animal that either people are, were exposed to it that started this pandemic. But research is still being done to it, so that therefore, you know, I don't want to mention that because it has not been confirmed. And
so
one thing about this, go ahead. Sorry.
No,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And
no, go ahead.
Just want to make sure people understand this virus is easier to spread because they multiply very, very fast in the human body. So, okay, go ahead, Robbie.
So how is it spread?
Okay. So how this thing spread is that we get that it's between people. Now, I want to stress this. This virus doesn't jump like some people think that this is like a plague, okay? This virus is not like a plague. So to get that illness, the virus has to come or get in directly into your system. And how it gets to, it goes through your nostril, mucus, or through your mouth, and possibly through your eyes. Unfortunately, all these three, we constantly touching our face and with our hands. So basically, our hand is one of the main transporter for this virus to get into our system. And so another one, through a respiratory droplet. So what it is that, let's say you and I talking, and I have the virus, and I don't know about it, and I don't have the symptoms. So all I have to do, just talk in front of you, and you know when we talk, we have a droplet, right? We don't see them because there's such a small amount. And the droplet goes into your nostril or your mouth because you breathe, right? You breathe, you're constantly breathing and taking air. So therefore, you take the virus from me through my droplet. And that's how you get illness from me, because it's such a close distance when I talk to you. So that's another one. Another also you can get it is that, let's say I have the virus too and I cough, right? Or I sneeze. And guess what? Most people use their hands to cover their mouth because we were taught that way since we were little, cover your mouth. But unfortunately, we cover it with our hands. And guess what? We just contaminate our hands. And then we turn around touching the rail, touching the doorknob, touching the elevator, and everything else, okay? And the other person that don't know, my hand touching those and transfer those virus into those area, and they touch that area, and guess what? This person, the first thing they do is touch their face. And when they touch their face, boom, the virus getting into their system through their mouth or through their nose. So those are the main thing that you get it. So in other words, it's not something just because you walk around somewhere and the virus just fly in into your mouth. No, it doesn't get it that way.
So how does this virus attack us once it's inside our body?
Okay. Good questions. I know this virus, because it is very fast, virus attack your lung first, because that's why we call it severe acute respiratory system. So it attacks your lung first. So if somebody is not healthy or they have compromised underlying illness, and they don't have a strong immune system, and especially in their lung, it's very easy for this virus to get in and start to replicate. Okay? But if you are healthy, it may not be right away because the virus look at this, the virus look at the body and they try to attack that, the antibodies start building it, so you may not get sick as fast. So, but it affects the lung. And then after start the contaminate the lungs and multiply in millions, million virus will multiply, okay? And your lungs become infected, okay? And then what happens, once they multiply some of these virus, this is basically what we call, for the sake of understanding, the cell eventually die. And then when the cell die, it's just like a substance, and it starts to block the alveoli, which is the part of your lung, the pocket, and that's why you have a hard time breathing, because the lung is being filled by this substance. And then because you get infected, that's why you have fever, okay? And then you start coughing, and you start sneezing, and mainly coughing, and then when you cough, you spread the illness. But also, if you don't have a symptom, because maybe you have a strong lung, and the virus figure, okay, I have to travel all over your body, and it looks for a certain, what we call it, a human body host, okay, and it starts replicating. And remember, this virus is a protein, and they look for a receptor, and it's called ACE2, okay? And then they try to attack all the ACE2 in your body. So it can attack your kidney, it can attack your liver, it can attack your other organs, because it just keeps traveling and start attacking everywhere. And why the reason that some people don't have a symptom? Because when people are healthy, your body recognizes this virus a lot faster, and it starts building the antibody. And because of that, that you may not get the symptom right away, but you have the virus already in your body, in your lung, and so when a person talks, it can still transfer the virus. So that's how, you know, the virus spread.
So what are some of the symptoms that we should pay attention to? I mean, you know, because right now, you know, it's summer, people get hay fever, they get different, you know, they're allergic to different things that are in the air. So what are some of the things they should really look at?
Yeah, the most common one, and CDC stated that over 90% people that have symptoms, it will show the symptom, which is fever. And the reason fever is because it creates the infection in our body. When our body creates infection, the enzyme is sending a signal, and because of that, our body temperature increase. So that is the first signal. And over 90% of people with symptoms will have a fever. Now, maybe the fever is not extreme, but they do have a fever. And that's why you heard about many, many places, you know, like they check the temperature of the employee, they check somebody's temperature, and like the hospital or the doctor would say, you have fever. Because that is the most common symptom is fever. And another one is very common is cough. And why? Because it attacks the lung and it repels, so that's why you cough. And shortness of breath, yeah, because it attacks your lung. So you will have a difficulty of breathing or shortness of breath. And you feel tired because the virus keeps attacking your antibody. You may have a muscle or body ache, just like other flu. Also, some people may have a headache, and some of the symptoms is not as common, but some people have a loss of taste, of smell, and some people may think they have a sore throat, you know, and their throat is scratchy before they have the cough. And some people may have the congestion or runny nose, and that's why they would sneeze. And then another one, there's been a symptom also, people have nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. So one thing about diarrhea, remember, the virus, if the virus is in your fecal system, the virus may be present also in your fecal matter. And guess what? If you don't wash your hands, that's another way you can transfer the virus to somebody's hand.
Should everybody get tested?
That's a very good question. Let me just ask you, and let's say I don't have a symptom, and I being exposed from somebody that somebody said, oh, yeah, I was exposed by somebody that who has COVID-19. Okay, let's get tested. Okay, I get tested, but my test is negative. And then what? So am I going to feel, oh, good, I don't have the illness now. But guess what? The virus has not multiplied enough or to the point that when they test me, it doesn't show yet. But it may show in 2-3 days. But guess what? I will just, because of that, I felt, okay, I'm negative, I'm fine. Then I become careless. Then I start doing things. And before I know it, I start spreading the virus without the symptom shows. But then I thought, I'm negative. Not necessarily you want to get tested unless you have a symptom, unless you can afford to get tested every day for the next 14 days. And yeah. So that's why you hear about the president of our president, he get tested every day. Because they can afford that, they want to make sure that he's okay. But everybody cannot do that you being tested every day, because that is just not realistic. Is that make sense?
We've been told one of the most important actions to prevent this virus spread is to wash your hands at 20 seconds. Can you elaborate more for our audience to understand? Also, people were told, you know, wipe off your groceries, wipe off everything. So cover that as well.
Okay, let me cover about the hand washing, because to me, hand washing is the easiest way to get rid of this virus. Whether people want to believe it or not, you know, there is no magic to really, remember, virus is not a living thing. They're outside human body or outside animal. So in other words, they do not multiply outside human body or animal. So they're an opportunist. In other words, once they're inside your body, they start multiplying like crazy. But outside your body, they're just sitting there waiting until somebody grabs them. Okay? So to me, the easiest way to do is destroy the virus before they get into the human body. To do that is very easy. The easiest way is using soap. And why? Because soap has a molecule that a shape of like a pinhead, which we don't see it unless you use electron microscope. It's the same way as the virus. Virus is very, very small. The only way you can look at it is through electronic microscope. Okay? So what happened, the pin shape of the soap molecule, it starts attacking the virus of their lipids. And because soap is attracting to lipids, so what it does is just pry into the lipid of the virus. And basically, once it does that, and the virus basically is, it cannot function, it cannot do anymore, cannot function, and basically is destroyed. And that is how easy it is. So when you wash your hand, when you're rubbing your hand for 20 seconds, that is what you're doing. You're doing the action, having the soap molecule praying into the lipid of the virus. So basically, the virus eventually just all of them destroy, and that's why it takes 20 seconds at least to do that, and then rinse it really well because you're rinsing the virus. Very, very effective in destroying the virus.
What about the, you know, if you're going shopping and you have groceries and coming home on a
top? Okay, correct. Okay, yes. And thank you for asking that. So what I would suggest is that, remember, these viruses, they don't multiply, but they can stay, unfortunately. These viruses stay longer in the smooth surface like plastic and also stainless steel. They can survive over more than a day. Okay? So what you want to do is just knowing the source. And that's why when you go to the grocery store now, you cannot use the reusable bag anymore, reusable plastic, because of that, because they don't know, you know, where this plastic come from, right? So when you go to the grocery store, okay, if you use their new plastic, you know that has not been used by anybody, so it's safe. But then when you go to the grocery store, let's say you touch the cart of the grocery store, you don't know who's been touching it, right? So you need to wipe that with sanitizing wipe, because you really don't know who's been touching that. So my message is that anything that you want to touch, okay, if you don't know who's been touching it, then make sure if you touch it, use hand sanitizer, but make sure you have to be clean first. Use your hand sanitizer, because the alcohol also is very effective to pry and destroying the lipid of the virus, okay, kind of like shrinking it. And so if you touch something you don't know, use hand sanitizer. So then it means that it's safe. So then in case you touch your mouth, you will not contaminate yourself. So that's one thing I suggested, you know, just be aware about what you touch that you don't know. The recipe always, when I get home, my home, I want to make sure my home is the safest place for me, because, you know, I don't have to worry about touching anything in my house. Because of that, I don't want to put my house in danger. Before I come to the house, I make sure I sanitize my hand before I touch the handle of my house, right? And then after that, I don't have to worry about anything that I touch inside my house. Now, as far as, like you say, the grocery, the plastic, make sure don't use any bag that you don't know where it comes from. That's the key, the unknown source.
So who are the most vulnerable population of this illness? And at first they said it was all the elderly, but I've seen a lot of people younger. What is the real story?
Yes, and that's a very good question. And to me, that it's just, and I will mention more about in the United States, because this is one thing they learned, like people in Europe, like in Italy, which different than the population in the United States. So I'll mention more about the United States. So in the United States, okay, the most, I guess, sensitive or that we have to protect is definitely is the elderly. And people ask why. Because unfortunately, once you reach 60 or above, sometimes 55, depends upon the health, but, you know, they use the age 60 or above, is that as we age, our immune system is not as strong as the young. Okay, the young people have a stronger immune system, but also, as you know, they have a healthier blood circulation. So because of that, they can produce the antibody a lot faster than an elderly. That's why the elderly are more easier to get ill because of that. But if you're older, but if you're healthy, and then you have these young people that has the underlying illness, and like, for example, the number one that is the highest one for people to easily get ill and being hospitalized is people with hypertension. And the second one that we found out is obesity. And that's why many of the younger people be hospitalized. It's not because they are older or they have this other hypertension, because usually younger people don't necessarily have hypertension, but it's because of obesity and diabetes. So diabetes is another one. And also, you know, when you have other cardiovascular disease. But another one too is very, very important. It's people that have a liver or kidney function that is not function very well. That is a very high risk. So people that have to have a dialysis, that is a very high risk getting this virus. I mean, getting ill and become seriously ill and possibly would lead to death.
Wow. As we know, many restaurant businesses suffered because of this pandemic. What would your advice they need to do to prepare opening their restaurants and minimizing the risk to their employees and customers? Coming from your background and experience as a crisis management leader for the restaurant industry, also talk about when you're talking about writing a crisis management report. What is that all about? You have about 10 minutes to cover this last question.
Okay, good, good. Remember, virus you can't see. So therefore, even in the restaurant, if there is a virus there, you will not know. Okay, so that's keep in mind. And so the first thing, my suggestion is that every restaurateur or the owner need to educate and train their employee about this illness, about the virus, in a way they understand. They just don't give them this paper, okay, read this, and expect them to understand. Because I learned during my Taco Bell year, I have to know my audience first. How would they understand? And I will speak in the language they understand. Sometimes I would use some animation, some example, so it gets into their mind, this is how the virus will spread and this is how you get ill. They need to believe in that first. So that is very important. They need to understand. And after that, the restaurateur need to look at their restaurant to see as far as what the layout of their restaurant. And the employees need to understand, and also the employer, to remind everybody this is a safety issue. So because of that, we want, number one, we need to protect the employees, right? Because if the employee is ill, then they can spread it to the customers. So the employee has to stay healthy first. You want to protect the employee. Okay, and then you want to protect the customer because we do not want to infect the customer. So during this period, safety should be the number one issue. It's not about the sales or marketing. And I'm sorry that if you don't have the safety, no matter how good your marketing is, you're not going to have people. You're not going to have a customer. So review your restaurant layout. And trying to look at your restaurant, how can you set up the place where people can be seated at 6 feet apart? Okay, and another one, do not put anything on your table for people to touch, for customers to touch. So, for example, sugar or whatever it is, napkin, nothing. So everything has to be served by the employees. Another one, to make a payment. Do not pay cash. If you want to have cash, make sure you have like a container, have a customer put the cash, see what the cash is, do not touch them, and do not even use that cash for at least 72 hours, and you have another safe cash somewhere else that's been sitting and has not been touched or been sanitized, and so use that cash. But in the credit card, do not touch the credit card. Have a customer insert into those portable ones, so then the employee does not have to touch the credit card. But if the employee has to touch it, make sure they wash their hand or sanitize their hand immediately before they touch anything else. Just remember, you don't know where that credit card been and who's been touching it. Another one, the most important thing, is clean and sanitize the restroom every few hours and have supplies, because you want to make sure the employees and the customer wash their hands. And to do that, to do what I just said, that's why it's important that what I call it to develop a checklist. Because every day when the employees come in and one employee is being assigned, to go through this checklist, what they have to do before they open the restaurant. So by doing that, it becomes a routine. You don't have to think about it. Everything is done before the restaurants open. And let's say the second shift starts, do the checklist again, and so on. One of the checklists definitely it should be, is besides cleaning the restroom, is check the temperature of the employee. Because remember, that is the most common symptom is temperature, right? And one thing I learned from this is be compassionate to your employees. And if you're compassionate and you be very genuine to employee that I care about you, they will tell you if they don't feel good, because they understand now, they've been trained, they will tell you, I think I have a fever or I'm tired. So check the temperature. And then if they do have a fever, just says, okay, we need to send you to a doctor and they need to test you or check with the doc going on. Don't even take a chance to let this employee come in into the restaurant. Because once they do come in and they start talking, that's when the virus can spread. Now, one thing I would suggest, because if the restaurant is such a close circular place, right, the employee should always wear the mask. And then as far as the customer, it's up to the restaurateur, but I would recommend customer wear a mask when they come in, when they talk, but then when they eat, they can just take off the mask, because that would also increase the safety for your employee, and also the safety inside their restaurant. And that's, in summary, that's what I have, unless you have any other questions, Robbie.
Well, first off, I want you to let people know how they can reach you, and we still have 10 minutes. And just tell us, like, from your perspective, what would a crisis management thing being put together for a restaurant look like? But first, how can they connect with you? And then if a restaurant needed one, what are some of the components that you would be able to help them with?
Yes, okay. So first, you know, you can call my cell phone, 949-445-9368, or text me or call, or email me at albenjamin.bb27@gmail.com. And what I do is I can do everything virtually. I do not have to go to the restaurant to just start. And because everything we can do this virtually, I can do via Zoom to talk to people. I can show from my computer. I can develop the checklist for them and everything is via computer. There is no need for us to be in the rest. But the most important thing is for me, I need to know what type of food they serve, what type of dining they have, and the layout of the restaurant. So because like I mentioned to you before, that every restaurant is different, and how do they cook the food? How do they deliver the food? And what is the function of your employee? And how do they connect with the customers? And that makes a big difference, depends upon how you serve your food to the customer. Because sometimes a restaurant may serve it like they stand behind the counter and calling a customer, here, I send you the plate. They don't have to go to the table. But some restaurants want to do that. They want to deliver the food to the table. So that's a different concept, different way of setting up the safety. So there is no one formula, but one formula that I can say is that sanitation and good hygiene, washing hands, and you can only control your employees. We can't control customers. Because of that, we have to have a certain things to protect their employee of being contaminated by the customer.
That's interesting.
Did I answer your question?
You did. So you have about 7 minutes. What else would you like to say about this whole concept?
Okay. I just want to send a message to people about wearing the mask. Okay. Some people say, well, I can't breathe. I can't wear the mask all day long. You don't need to wear the mask all day long. Okay. You only need to wear a mask when you're talking to somebody. You only need to wear a mask when you're somewhere that you have, like, you know, in the dining room, or when you are going into the grocery store, when you know you are going to stay maybe close to somebody. And the reason that we're wearing masks is not because the main purpose is not because we're going to get the virus. It's more like you are not going to infect other people, or you're not going to contaminate the environment when you talk, when you sneeze, and when you cough. It just the example I like to give is that think about the surgeon that performs a surgery in a hospital in the surgical room. Why do the surgeon wearing a mask? Because when they talk when they perform a surgery, they can contaminate the patient that they just cut open, right? And they don't want the patient to have an infection. That's why they cover their mouth with the surgical mask. So it's the same thing with this situation. It's the reason you're wearing masks because you know that maybe you don't have the symptom, but you have this illness, especially the people that under 50. So when they wear a mask, they're being responsible not to spread this illness if they have the virus and not knowing it. But what I am telling everybody, not you don't wear it all day long. At home, you don't have to do that. Even when you walk with your dog, you don't carry conversation with people, then you don't need to wear a mask. When you go hiking, when you go places, when you don't socialize with people, you don't need to wear a mask. But when you start having a conversation with somebody, yes, then you need to wear a mask and stay 6 feet apart. So that's my message.
One of the things I learned today talking to a restaurateur that for the type of thermometer that restaurants need to use, they're back ordered 90 days. They can't even find them.
Oh.
You know, they're told they can open.
Wow.
They're told they can open, but they can't find all the tools that they need.
Oh my goodness. So I guess with that, maybe I need to find, you know, to do more search as far as, because I know my sister said the same thing. She went to the drugstore, you know, a few weeks ago. All the thermometer is gone. You know, she bought the expensive one that costs like $90 that you can put the thermometer to your ears and then boom, and take the temperature in a few seconds.
Yeah, but apparently the ones the restaurant have to use is the one they hold right in front of their head, and they're completely out of them.
But there is also a thermometer that you can use that to insert in the ears, which is the same thing. It's instant, just on the ears, and just like what the doctor used. And I know some drugstores still carry that, but unfortunately, I think that that is a good question, Robbie, that maybe we should look from other vendors that we know, that if they carry a thermometer, maybe we can share that with the restaurateur where they can get the tool from. Because I know thermometer right now is in high demand.
Yeah, well, that's
and
what I
we cannot, yeah, and we cannot, yeah, we cannot rely on just somebody touching their forehead and says, oh, I don't have temperature.
Well, this has been really interesting. Every time I hear it, I learn something new, and I think people will, you know, you hear so many stories, it's hard to, you want to know what's really true, and that way you can follow that. Not everybody's opinion, but from someone who's worked with it, it really makes a difference. And I know I enjoyed your presentation when you did it with the PowerPoint, and you could really see some of the statistics that you spent a long time researching in order to do this talk.
Yeah, so, thank you so much. I'm here to help people answer questions, and if you have questions still about the virus and how you get it. Because to me, my motto is that the more people understand how this illness spread, really the understanding the fact, not through this negative journalism and the scary tactic, you know. And to me, the less we become scared of this illness, because bottom line is viral illness is a hygiene issue.
So we're down to 90 seconds. So tell them again how they can reach you, and then we'll have to close out for today.
Okay. They can reach me at my cell phone, 949-445-9368. And they can reach me by leaving a message through my phone, and I will call back. And also through my email, albenjamin, BENJAMIN, BLikeABoy27@gmail.com.
Well, that's great. We made it now 40 seconds, so we're really done for today. Thank you so much, and I know that people will really appreciate this, and thank you for taking the time to be on the show today. It was really interesting.
Thank you so much, Robbie, to be part of your show, and I'm honored and my pleasure talking this afternoon, and I look forward to hear from you and from anybody that needs to learn more about this illness or the virus. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye now.
And look forward to it. Yeah, bye.